Welcome to the Stoke It Up podcast, everybody, a podcast encouraging you in your journey with God. I'm Alan Stoddard, and I am your host, and I'm here with the illustrious team chosen, Elise Elsenboss, Renee Kren, and Tim Ebert, who is a loser. He didn't watch the... Oh, look at him taking up for the shmee. No, he didn't get to see season four of The Chosen. So we're glad you're checking in with us. We want to have a discussion. I've been wanting to have this discussion. I think a lot of Christians are dialoguing one way or another about The Chosen. We all have been huge fans of The Chosen. And then I had a period where I kind of was like, I don't know what to do with these guys now. And so I want to talk about that. But season four has come out and we all three have seen it in the theater. I'm glad I went to see it. So let me say that I love throwing a little money at these guys because I thought I've thrown money at way lesser movies for sure. So amen, amen. So Elise, Renee, welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while since we've done this.
Thank you.
So
I kind of did this like right after it.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it kind of is because they're still trying to figure out how we were just talking about that off screen that they're trying to figure out how to get it out and they've got some complicated things going. So, yeah. So, okay. First question right out of the box. What were your favorite two or three scenes? Any one of you guys want to go first or you want me to go first? Ladies first.
I'll go first.
Okay, favorite scenes in season four.
Okay, favorite scene for me in episode 1-3, I hope I'm not mistaken, but it would be where Peter has to, or Simon, I think it's Simon at the time, but it doesn't matter. Simon Peter. Anyway, he struggles with forgiveness and having to forgive Matthew, right?
Yeah.
Matthew?
You're right. Yeah.
And oh my gosh, that I laughed. I had tears. I loved it. I loved it when Peter sat with Jesus and Jesus just kind of talked with him, you know? There's going to be things in life that are going to happen. I just loved it. That was probably out of season episodes 1 and 3. That was my favorite. Out of episodes 4-5 wasn't my favorite. It was my shocker. And that was the death of a character.
You can say the character. We're going to do spoilers. I'll let people are going to know. This is, if you haven't seen it by the time you listen to this, you better turn this off. So you're talking about right? Rhema.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I could not believe Rhema died off. That was nuts.
I couldn't either. But I understood, you know, yes, it's not in the Bible. That is, you know, that part's not even in the Bible, but I can understand seeing Thomas even doubt more, you know, and why couldn't, you know, he was like, why couldn't Jesus bring her back to life? Why couldn't he? And that to me was another one of those, we want it our way sometimes, but it's not the will of God for it to happen. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Do you have a third?
And I do. I thought it was funny. I liked when the two guys went and got the donkey. I thought that part was funny. I thought it was really good.
I thought it was actually good. I liked the way they put flesh onto that.
Yeah, I did too. So those are mine. What's yours, Elise?
So you kind of stole two of mine, but I'll say with Simon Peter and Matthew, I also love how they portrayed Matthew through that situation as well. Not just the side of Simon Peter's struggle, but Matthew's struggle with like, I don't get why he's mad. I mean, like, why should I have to apologize, you know, kind of thing, and that struggle as well that he had with it. And it was a very, very good, because it's so relatable, and you could see that. You could even see that being an issue because of Matthew and him being the tax collector and all of that. I'll say with the same thing with Rhema, that one, oh my gosh, tears.
Yes.
But when Gaius in that situation, that was like his big, I think, pivotal turning during that whole scenario, because he's like, no, I'm not gonna go arrest him, no, and he refused, and that's where you really saw, okay, yeah, he's gonna follow, like, oh, this is gonna be so amazing, because they've been building up to that, like the little inklings here and there, and then for how he came to Jesus, and just like, it was beautiful. I would say my favorite when Lazarus was resurrected, that was beautifully done. But my favorite part was really the portrayal of how Mary was wiping his feet with the oil, the whole process of her, like, I loved how they did that. That was beautiful. They did a really good job of that.
Yeah, I had tears during that part too.
My three are the same. Peter forgiving Matthew was, that blew me away. I probably just got really emotional on that. I was like, because forgiveness always wells up in us when we see stuff like that. And then Rhema's death was the second one I wrote down. That was just, I didn't see that coming. And that's probably when I realized, oh, wow, this thing's taking a turn. And I want to ask you guys about that. And then Gaius, conversion, basically, when he comes in and says he believes, you don't even have to come to my house. That was a curveball. I just didn't see that coming like that. Those are my three. What do you guys think about the way the tone of the season changed? What's your feel on that? When you were like, oh,
it's more serious.
Yeah. It's heavier.
You think that's a good thing?
Yeah, I think it is, because it's building up to eventually what Christ did for us. So it's not going to be a bed of roses. I mean, it's not going to be. I mean, this is getting serious. It's getting to the point where, you know, he's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be all those
next
things.
Next season's going to start with that, him coming in on the donkey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I think by getting serious, it turns from what they've done in the first three seasons, which was, They were in danger of making Jesus cool, because Jonathan Roumie's, you know, he's a unique actor, and he's made Jesus relatable in personality, which in scripture, when you're reading the scriptures, you have to really be a reader and be perceptive to pick out Jesus' personality. And I think they were in danger of making it a little more humorous. I don't know if too humorous is the right words, but there was humor, and the scriptures do not put that much humor in the gospels. There's been PhDs written on that. I've read one. Where is humor in the scripture in the New Testament, and why wasn't it more prominent? That is to me a great theological question. So they've really been playing with fire, and I think I'm fine with that. I think it helps us think. I think it helps an audience go, okay, where am I with scripture? But the seriousness, I think, it's an obvious change, and I'm glad, because I think it's turned more gospel in season four than it was the first three seasons. What do you think, Elise? Right, but, what are you sitting there thinking? Or yeah, go ahead, Renee.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the first three seasons, we really don't know, like you said, about the humor and stuff, but it's them getting to know him. It's the character, or not the characters, but the disciples and all of the followers getting to know Jesus. So I could see the humor. You could also see where they disagreed. You can see where they fought. It may not have said that. Well, there was that one time, was it Paul who called out Luke? No. Paul who called out Peter, right? Was it Paul
called out Peter?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that right there is pretty serious. So, you know, I know it, they didn't show it. It's not been shown in this because Paul's not in this. However, the point that I'm trying to make is that they still disagreed. You know, there were things that they disagreed about. There's going to be things that they...
Do you guys think that the personality part, do you think that's more for trying to make them relatable? Or do you think that is more to make the audience who's watching this thing think of themselves? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, like to put themselves in the shoes of each person. Yeah, I'm sure in parts, certain things that they've done have been specifically like Little John and his handicap. There's nothing, you know, about that. Or even Matthew, right. With, you know, how he is.
On the spectrum, well. Or yeah, Raymond's character.
Exactly. And so you've got those characters that people might not always see themselves in the Bible. And from, you know, if they're history buffs and not Bible buffs and wanting to, you know, they have that inkling of wanting to learn about the Bible, they might just be like, well, in those times, if you were different, you were outcast. You were just horrible. Mm-hmm. So why would I want anything to do with this? Because if they don't know, if they're not Christian and they don't have any exposure, this might give that exposure and then be like, okay, well, I can kind of see myself in that character. Let me find out more about this person, who they really are, and what's accurate and not accurate. You know, like, I just think mm-hmm. that, yes, yep. It can, of course, be a tightrope you're walking on, what you're doing, because you don't want to be changing the characters and anything like that, because then you're going to get further and further away from Bible truth. And you don't want that to happen either.
Have you guys seen any bad theology that you would pick out? Not bad history.
Right, bad theology.
Not bad context. Maybe bad context, but yeah. I'm really asking about bad doctrine. I'll tell you, I can't think of anything that I've seen. Not anything that's doctrinal.
Not doctrinal.
Yeah. Now, context and history, sometimes I scratch my head like, but I don't know what to do with that. And so I think all three of us, I'll speak for us, but you guys jump in. But I think all three of us, we've made the decision that we're not worrying until we see bad doctrine, we're fine. We're just not worrying about liberties they take and use to paint pictures and present characters. You know, the whole plausible, is it plausible? Dallas Jenkins will say, I understand that. I'm not necessarily hating on that, but that's where I've told people, when you watch The Chosen, watch it with an open Bible. And what I really mean by that is you ought to really know your Bible well enough to go, is this in the New Testament? And if you don't know it, no one's in trouble. No one has to stay after class. But we may want to read our Bibles a little more, which is mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, even if you're like, scratch your head, like, I really don't think that's how that happened. Like, you're not going to just take it for its word. You're going to then look in the word and be like, exactly. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I was on to something, or, oh, I must have missed that, you know? Like, so mm-hmm. I do like that, too, because, I mean, I'll speak for us again. Like, we love the Bible, and we know the stories. You know, you're never going to know every in and out forever because it's always revealing. It's a living word. So that being said, though, you're going to want to go and make sure that, oh, this is truth, or, oh, when I'm watching with someone that's maybe not knowledgeable of the Bible and of the truth, then I can point out, so this part didn't happen exactly like this. We'll talk about it later, you know, like something even like that.
Well, one of the ladies, one of my friends that went with us, she goes, you know, I look at this as a novel. And because I told her, I said, well, get ready to cry. And she goes, oh, it's a novel. I'm looking at it as a novel. Well, then there was one of the scenes that they showed at the IF, during the IF conference, Elise, one of those scenes. And that was before we saw it, and she got all teary-eyed.
So, yeah.
You know, and I was like, no, remember, you said you're going to watch this as a novel. But it was good. I loved it. And, you know, one of the other parts that I really liked, and if I'm not mistaken, Alan
Parr.
When Alan Parr had him on, and if I'm not mistaken, that's where he talked about, you know, they had the ministers, they have the people that they need there.
What do they call that? Their panel. I think it's a panel.
The panel.
Yeah. And you remember when the Roman soldiers stopped and had the disciples, here, you carry this now. And he said, you know, that must have been history right there, something in history, because they were known to do that. Did he say that?
I don't remember.
Is that something that he said?
I don't remember. But I will say I don't doubt that to be true.
Yeah. Yeah, and what they did say during that Alan Parr is, like, he said that, you know, the people, they don't run the script. They don't write the script, but they're looking for the integrity of it, and they're looking for inaccuracies or something that they might be doing that to them they don't think anything of, but it would be offensive in Jewish culture because they're not buffed on Jewish culture either. So, totally agreed with that. But one thing you pointed out, Renee, there is, like, IF Conference used a couple of clips from it.
Yeah.
And there are two different clips, if I'm not mistaken, that they used at different points. And I think that just shows what a tool this is, because you can drive home that emotion that people are going to connect with those characters or whatever, but then tell the truth. And you can use it in Bible study. You can use it they used it in that conference. You can use it when you're, you know, discipling someone as well. Not that you're going to use it as what you're discipling them in, but something to spend time with that person and it being, you know, something that then, hey, let's look this up now. Let's read into this more.
So let me shift gears with this. Are you guys as excited about The Chosen as you were in the first couple of years?
So I am still excited. I'm sorry, Elise.
No, go ahead, please.
I was gonna say I am, now that it has actually come out. But I was just like, come on. I almost said I'm done with this. But
why?
Why
though? Why?
Because it took so long.
Okay.
You see, I guess they kind of spoiled us with season, was it two or three, where they came right out. Maybe it was two, because even in season three, they went to the theater, right?
Yeah, for the ending, right? And the, was it the opening and the
first?
I think they went the opening.
The opening and closing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
See, so I think that they're doing that, though, that they're going to theater. But I think, like you said, it's taking a lot longer because they're having to do these other things. And I agree with you. And then, you know, I'm kind of torn. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm excited about it. I was excited to go watch them. I did go watch them, but at the same time, then there's certain things that, you know, I feel like they're utilizing it that time. Of course, they need to fund it because it is crowdfunded. But then they had like that chosen convention that would, like, you had to pay to be part of.
Chosen,
I didn't do that.
Con.
I was just like, yeah, I was kind of like, that's just so cheesy. And so, I'm like, they come out with every single week, they come out with content with different interviews, clips, talking about those clips and things like that. I kind of lose interest in some of that. Like, I'll watch it here or there, but I'm not like a diehard because it just seems like so much of this extra stuff versus what you're actually about, you know?
So one of the challenges, I don't think I'm as excited about it, although I'm going to watch it all the way. I don't mind to go pay money to see it. I want to support them because, as I said earlier, I've supported way less. I mean, no problem. A couple things. One, they are trying to make money. That's what we're and it becomes a production. And right. It comes with the program, I'm sure. It's way above my head for sure. And I'm sure the delay in season 4 has to do with money and power and some kind of something like that. I know they got to make money. I want them to make money. I'm sure the first 2 seasons, they didn't make much money at all. It was crowdfunding and it worked. But their production and quality has grown in the last 4 seasons. And they're learning. And I know it's commercializing. They've commercialized it. There's a danger in that. Now, let me say this out loud for our podcast listeners. All 3 of us are Calvary Chapel type people, and we're very word-based, and we're very Bible, and we are wordy.
Yeah.
we look for doctrinal things, and we're not going to compromise on those things. So we do look at it, and we look for it. So having said that, because when you start marketing, it becomes like this trendy Christianity. I'm nervous about that now. I'm watching what's happened in many local churches in the last 5 to 7 to 10 years. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to get messy. So let's deal with some of the mess. All right. So
Okay.
So part of the messy is we live in a culture where if you watch it, go to it, even our own churches, you know, we better buckle in because something could go awry very fast. So here they are on the set and someone has a gay pride flag. Is that what we would call it? A pride flag. And,
right, yeah.
You know, we don't know what's up with that. And I didn't care as much about the flag, which I do care about. I don't think it ought to be there, but I understand the context of how that could happen. They employ people that are not Christians, and I get it. What I didn't think was good was the way they handled it. I think Dallas Jenkins and I think the Chosen team, they don't handle certain things well. What do you guys think of that? I think they brought on criticism that was not needed by the way they handled things.
Yeah, I mean, because that was in it was in a behind the scenes, right?
Episode. Yes, yeah.
And they could have screened it and seen that in there, caught it. If they were looking at what the content that they're putting out there through as thorough of a lens, they could have had that taken out. I agree. The way they handled it wasn't great. But at the same time, I think the way a lot of Christians handled it wasn't great either. I think that it caused a lot more hatred being thrown out there than, I'm not saying embrace it at all. That is not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the way they went on the attack about it versus like questioning, asking the question, not being as hateful, and because it's like, are you really a Christian even? Like, how can you be that hateful about this? Yes, you can. And yes, they made a mistake. They did something that, you know, probably shouldn't have been on there. Yes, they're going to have it possibly on set because, like you said, they hire non-Christians, which I'm all for them hiring non-Christians because
Yes.
look, they
Yes.
have a few of the people that are on their cast and crew that were not Christians season one and now are. So I think it's important that they handle things publicly certain ways. However, also look at that person that just received all this hate from all these Christians, and they're like, I'm making a show. I'm part of
Right.
this show. I'm, because it was a cameraman, I believe. I'm filming this
Yeah.
show for you
Yeah.
guys, and you guys are going to treat me with all this hatred?
Wow.
I don't even want to
Right.
watch the show. It would be like my
Right.
reaction if I was in that person's shoes. I'd be like, well, why am I putting in all this hard effort for this show if this is how Christians are, you know? Which, again,
Right.
it, some of it's people calling themselves Christian and just doing, you know, the talk but not the walk.
Yes.
And some people that just their hearts aren't there, so I'm not going to condemn them either. But I think it was handled on all areas not the best way.
I agree.
That was a great
I
way of
agree.
saying that, Elise.
Yeah.
I think these are discussions that we're all having. I think in church life, whether it's the chosen as the topic, is that's irrelevant. It could be five other things. I think these are the kind of conversations that people are having, and we have to start having them out. For example, we all know people that they hate the chosen. They
Yes.
hate it. They think it's like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I've learned, like, I'm not going to get defensive. I totally respect my friends who say it's evil, or I'm not watching it, or whatever I'm not arguing with it, because, and partly I get what you're saying. I don't all agree with all that they're saying, but I get a couple of I get why it, you know, the whole context of making up a character like Rhema. I get that. It's not in the Bible. I get it. I'm not arguing with that.
But
I'm
it's
just going,
entertainment, you know, and that's the thing. It's not where you're supposed to get your scripture from. And
exactly.
Though those people that are disliking it and hate on the chosen, which again, like you said, it's their opinion. They're entitled to that. But also I can guarantee that they might be enjoying some other content that is now coming out to the movie theaters that never had a platform before. And I think The Chosen
That's
has
a
a
good
huge
insight.
demand in it.
Yeah, it's interesting. As Christians, we now have to, well, we don't have to, but we're now in the public arena.
Yeah.
And the stuff they're coming out with is good. What was the movie they just did? The Cost of Freedom? Is that what it was called? No.
Sound of Freedom.
The Sound of Freedom.
The Sound of Freedom. Yeah.
And things like that. It's interesting. The movies, Christian movies, have progressed. They went from the Irwin brothers with Courageous and things like that. Now it's The Chosen. You don't hear anything about the other kind of inspiring those movies. It's all changed over to the Chosen style movement. How about this? Let me press it even harder. And this one's the harder one. And I'm glad you guys watched Alan Parr's interview with Dallas Jenkins. I really appreciated Dallas Jenkins in that. I've been very frustrated with his responses to the Latter-day Saints. I think he's done a terrible job on that. Let me just press this and see what you guys think. He goes out of his way to make allowance for a cult. That's the very most streamlined way I can say it. After all this time, I'm going, Dallas, please stop. Is it possible that a Latter-day Saint could be born again and go to a Mormon church? Well, sure, that's possible. I mean, that is the wrong way to approach that. It bugs me, because I'm going, I actually put it in Alan Parr's comment thread on his podcast. I said, you should have asked him straight up, do you believe the LDS is a cult? They are a cult. They're not a brand of Christianity. They're a cult. They believe Jesus
and
Satan
said that
are brothers.
Jesus. Yeah.
Huh?
Didn't Dallas say something like it's the same?
He says Jesus, we worship the same Jesus. And he tries to say it from like, I have a few friends who I know are born again and they love the same Jesus. Okay, I'm not saying that's not impossible. That's okay, that's possible. It's possible.
But why wouldn't you leave the church then? Or why wouldn't you leave? If you knew that Jesus is not the same Jesus, and you come to know him as your Lord and Savior, wouldn't you leave the church, that particular, I don't want to call it a church.
Yeah, I say yes.
Leave that sack and go where there is a church, a Bible church.
So, yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Renee.
A brand new believer, then I could see them not, because I know people that it was a struggle in the beginning, leaving whatever ritualistic religions they were part of, or and it was a struggle just because that's what they grew up. That's what all their family is. That's everyone that they know is. So they felt this tear. Eventually it has to happen though, or you're not walking with God. You're exactly. You're like, yeah, it sounds good, but I'm going to stay in this kiddie pool.
Yeah. Okay. So I have a family member who went from Catholicism to Mormonism. And we've had conversations, and they will talk about Jesus, but they don't celebrate the crucifixion or the
resurrection.
The 3 days later, the resurrection. Yeah, they don't.
Wow.
And they're not allowed to wear a cross. They are not allowed. One of the boys was called in by one of the elders and reprimanded for wearing a cross.
No kidding.
I don't understand. I do not think it's the same Jesus.
No, it's not the same Jesus. And that's troublesome. That's where I'm not as enthusiastic. Now, I'm glad he came on there. He very matter-of-factly said he disagrees with some of their beliefs. I'm glad he finally, at least that was clearer. But it's not as clear. And here's the problem is all of us who are wanting this to succeed, what happens is they go there and do that, and the answer's kind of weak. And so now you're stuck and you're really circumventing what you're trying to do in the first place, which I get. I mean, I would love to interview the Dallas, and they're going to be very tight on this, but I'd like to know, like, okay, are you not answering just because you had to rent the place in Utah? I mean, why are you buddying up with these guys?
They also talk about English.
Dallas Jenkins knows better.
Mm-hmm.
I have no doubt about that. I don't believe he's biblically weak. I just think on this topic, I think he's just putting us in a bad spot. I'm glad he said something that clarified it pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And for the listeners, I'll put the link to the Alan Parr podcast in the show notes so you can connect on it. It's really worth your listen. I'm glad.
It is.
But I'm still a little just like, man, I wish you guys, and okay, now I think about us as the church, because at least you both are in here like kicking back on it in a way that I didn't anticipate. You know, we face the same thing in the church. You guys, you know, when I was in Ruidoso, we used to have gay folks coming to the church. We had a transgender person coming to the church.
Yeah.
You know, I never said, hey, sorry, you got to get out of here.
Right.
I didn't necessarily attack them on those days either. I didn't want to go targeting them and beat them up. If it, you know, we're not going to compromise the word. If it comes up while you're there, you know, welcome to what we all go through every Sunday. But, you know, we face the same thing in the church is what I'm trying to say. We don't always communicate it well either. So I want to remember that. Mm-hmm. We, as a pastor, I've not mm-hmm. always gotten it right where I've communicated perfectly. That hasn't happened. So part of me wants to leave some margin and grace mm-hmm. for these guys. You know,
absolutely.
He said on the podcast, I hadn't heard this. Maybe I just missed it. But he said, yeah, some of the actors are not even believers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Elise said, too.
Yeah.
Did you just say that and I wasn't listening? Okay.
No, it was earlier. The actors and the cast, the cast and the production crew, they're not all saved. Some of them have been since being part of that, part of the production now. So, and that's where, that's where you have to give that grace. And I completely defend any Christian works, whether it's The Chosen or some other movie or something else, that do have people that are not Christians there. And I think that's so important. They're not going to be running it. They're not going to be doing it, but that might be right where they need to be. Look at Kelsey Grammer and how vocal he is now since being on Jesus Revolution. Yes. And he wasn't.
You're right.
So you look at something like that and you want, like, if we throw a fit, because I've seen people throw a fit about non-Christians playing a part or being part of something. And it's like, why? Maybe that's their plan. Maybe that's how they're going to be introduced to God. You know, like, we can't just exclude everyone and only be in our little private club and then open up just a little bit to be like, come to church, but, you know, nothing else.
Some of this can be Christian movies used to be goofy. They were not good.
Yeah.
They were terrible. Poor acting. We got the Christian actors. Everything was Christian and it was like insulated. It was terrible. Now, and I'm not saying you have to go to the world and, you know, but sometimes you got to go outside the Christian realm to get the right actors. Because the real deal will be the final product. Again, all three of us and Tim, we buy off on the fact that we're bought off on the show. We understand the nuance. We understand why some people don't go with it. Nobody's mad. I fully understand. And I'm not mad, but we've gone with it, but it's the final product. It doesn't matter if Jonathan Roomie's, you know, some people say he was grave soaking and he went and talked to Lonnie Frisbee at his grave before he did some stuff with Jesus Revolution. And, you know, it's weird sounding, but hey, do I really care about that? Or do I care whether that makes it into the final cut of a show or movie?
Of course, but none of us are perfect. A lot of, you know, none of us can say we've done everything right or
exactly.
You know, biblically sound in our own lives. So to hold, you know, these people up as well and expect them to, you know, be bigger than life, you know, because they're playing this part. I mean, I don't know if either of you saw the, I think it was a Netflix or Amazon Prime special with Jonathan Roomie, and it was Jonathan as Jesus or something like that it's called.
Yes.
I thought it was good.
I didn't see it.
I think it's on Prime.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's called Jonathan and Jesus.
Yeah, and I do believe Jonathan saved. I think some of the things he does, I don't necessarily agree with. Even
hey, but hey,
the Pope with Dallas, and Dallas even said to the Pope, like, I don't believe in any of these rituals. Like,
hey, I'm sitting here thinking Christianity has some crazy uncles now. There's some crazy folk up in Christianity, man. There's some wild people. I mean,
exactly.
if you look at Christian history, it's weird.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're not compromising scripture. I like what you're saying, Elise. That's really good. I appreciate that. Are you guys still committed to the show?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm still committed to the show. For any of my friends that are listening, don't hate me. I believe the Bible. But I'm committed to the show.
And you know what, Ellen? I'm not. Go ahead,
Renee.
Okay, I was going to say I'm not a big fan of Hollywood, period. So I don't like to go to the movies because I don't want to support them. However, this show I want to support because it means a lot to me about what they're talking about. I know that it's the dialogue with the characters is not biblical, but that's just a part of telling a story. I'm not seeing sex. I'm not seeing drugs. I'm not hearing curse words. It doesn't have the F word every other word or the, you know, the SH word. Those are just where I don't speak those words. I don't enjoy paying to see a movie with all those words in it. So yes, I am still on this, on The Chosen. I'm still behind it. I like it. It's more me. It's what I want to see.
I agree. 100%. I've been silent on it. I had a period of time where I was silent on everything, and I was silent on The Chosen because of some of the drama, and I was frustrated with the way they were handling a few things. I wasn't going to work against them per se, but I was like, I'm just not as excited about you guys. But I am excited about the Lord. I'm excited about the good that's coming out of The Chosen. This can happen in any church where you get a little bit of drama, somebody this, somebody's connected to that. It happens. You guys have seen it. We've all three seen it at the church and at Calvary Ruy Doso back in the day when I was there. Surely enough, I dragged y'all through some drama.
Yep.
It happens everywhere you go. Every season's got drama. I think we do well. And even in my frustrations, I'm still with Dallas Jenkins. I think I think in that Alan Parr interview, he was trying to get out in a way that didn't alienate people. And, you know, some of us will go, well, you should alienate them. But he did come out and finally say, okay, at least I was like, okay, now we're feeling like we're back in. And hey, as you know, as we wind down here, I'm not against them making money. You know, when that video came out, they're saying they need to make money. Things cost money. And I went back and saw episodes 3 and 4, 5, whatever they were. The middle episodes, 4, 5, and 6, I went back to the theater and saw those again. Gina was gone, and I just went back, and I thought,
oh wow,
I want to put money there. I mean, if going to the theater, I think everybody should go to everyone. It's the cost of a cheap lunch.
Yeah, it's not expensive.
It's not and expensive. Like you said, don't get the popcorn.
And it's showing, just like Renee said, like it's showing the Hollywood and all of them. We don't want that. This is what we want.
Right.
And so it's just by us supporting, awesome. I think it also just shows like, hey, there is a want and a need for Christian content. And we're going to just keep seeing more and more Christian content in theaters. And the more we support those things, the more that we'll see and maybe expose other people. They won't even know they're going into a Christian film. And then they'll be coming out. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people are being touched by it. It's amazing. I know it's a hard thing for them to manage with all the things that come attached. It is difficult to run a big organization like that. And so we're not trying to beat them up too bad. Let me say that out loud, but we are trying to be honest about it too and dialogue with the hard parts. So I appreciate you guys talking up a little bit on the LDS part. I know that's difficult because we all love the show. Don't necessarily want to work against it. But when it comes to doctrine, we can't on hard doctrine, we can't compromise. And so it's just an odd position. But I love what you're saying, Elise. I'm sitting here listening to you, thinking about how much you've grown in the Lord since I first met you, really, because we want to show grace. That's really what it comes down to, is we want to show some grace where we can, and even in disagreement, show grace. We don't have to be hardcore about it and alienate people. And so let's leave it there. Ladies, thank you for coming on the podcast. We're trying to stoke people up still. And this has been a conversation that I think a lot of people are having among themselves in churches one way or another. And so I hope we've gone right down the middle on the good, the bad, and the ugly. And thank you for coming on.
Thank you for
having me.
Amen. Guys, we will see you next week on the Stoke It Up podcast. We are a part of the Calvary Global Network media team. Go plug in on the social media handles there. If you want more information about the Calvary Global Network, log on to our website. We would love to partner with you in sharing the gospel, preaching the word, and winning people to Christ. God bless. We'll see you next time.
Amen. See ya.
Bye.
Later. Bye, Tim.
Later.
Hey.